We need to show solidarity. We cannot remain outside this campaign. That was the Turkish president's take on the new U.S.-led airstrike campaign against ISIL in Iraq and Syria, while adding that there will be a ground dimension as well. For Turkey, which has been involved in the Syrian quagmire from the get-go, what does it hope to achieve by now getting militarily involved? Is this about the tomb of Suleyman Shah in Aleppo? Is it about EU membership and thus keeping NATO happy? Or is it about seeking some measure of control of the ISIL Frankenstein Turkey has nurtured? I'm Okar Rizvi, and this is The Debate. Let's now introduce our guests for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by former American intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Rickard, who is joining us live now from Orlando. And we're also joined by the U.S. military and foreign policy analyst, Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, who is joining us live now from Washington. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us. Mr. Rickard, I'd like to start with you, if I may. The Syrian government has warned that any Turkish actions within Syria will be seen as an act of aggression in response, of course, to the Turkish parliament's approval of Turkey going after all quote-unquote threats, be it ISIL, be it the PKK, or even Syrian forces. What do you think is behind Turkey's growing military adventurism?
Well, Turkey's got a lot of interest in that area, obviously, with the predominant Kurdish population. When you're talking about Ayn al-Arab, also known as Kobani, this particular town has basically received all the Kurdish and local refugees who have been fleeing for their lives, not really only over the past month or two, but actually over the past year or so. This al-Nusra and FSA and ISIS mercenary organization has actually been attacking the city of Kobani in the Kobani Valley region there for well over a year. So this is a region that has resisted these mercenaries, has actually helped out Assad for a long period of time. But at this point, they've come into the region with tanks and armored personnel carriers, as well as Humvees. And they've been very effective at getting much closer to taking over the region as a whole, and they're now getting very close to Kobani. And the Kobani has approximately 400,000 population. So there's quite a few people who would be slaughtered and massacred there. They don't have a lot of heavy military weaponry. Most of their stuff is handheld RPGs and also rifles, as well as a few mortars. But the ISIS, or mercenary organization that calls itself ISIS, is much more heavily and well-armed, and they have come very close to the city. So there are actually tank battalions or some tanks along the border already in Turkey that are ready to go. And that's really in response to actually saving the lives of these 400,000 people. However, Turkey was actually responsible and should take responsibility for having built this mercenary army alongside NATO, Israel, and their petro-puppet partners out of the Gulf. So that being said, you know, obviously Turkey should be held responsible and should be begging Assad to go in and help. But that's not the way it's being played here. They're playing the valiant saviors when, in fact, they were the cause of the problem.
Indeed, and I want to pick up on that last point you made there, Mr. Rickard, and put that to Mr. Korb. Mr. Korb, a lot of people are saying that Turkey is responsible or at least complicit in the way that ISIL has acted throughout this time, both in Iraq and Syria, by allowing the free flow of ISIL fighters over the border into Syria. How do you respond to that?
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that they didn't guard the border the way that they should have. But I think they also assumed in the beginning that a lot of the people going over the border were going to join what people call the Free Syrian Army, or the people who basically peacefully demonstrated against Assad. But they have closed the border now, and basically they've also cut off the way in which ISIL could sell black market oil. They've stopped that. The real question is, you know, how much farther are they willing to go? And I think it's important to keep in mind the reason they had to pass this resolution is the one that they had passed a year ago expired. So without that resolution, President Erdogan would not have been able to take any action if he should decide, for example, to do something about what's happening around Kobani.
Indeed, and on the topic of Kobani, once again, Mr. Rickard, then I want to put that to you. When it comes to Kobani, and Mr. Korb, they're mentioning now the border has been closed between Syria and Turkey, but now you have Kurdish fighters on the Turkish side who want to go to Kobani to protect that town, and Turkey is not allowing them in, and is also giving a hard time for refugees coming from the other side. So isn't this sort of a mixed message?
Well, it is a mixed message. I think what Turkey found themselves in is a quagmire whereby they were actually helping the mercenaries, actually giving them safe harbor, providing weaponry. Some of the weaponry came out of Libya early on in the war that was instigated by the West and not the way that Mr. Kolb has described here. Mr. Kolb is describing the fantasy that the West has tried to sell to the West and their media, that this was a naturalized or some spontaneous uprising in Syria, when in fact this has been an uprising that has been planned not just for the last 4 to 6 years, but has also been instigated on the region by the West, NATO, as well as their Turkish partners for well over 10 to 20 years, even going back into the 70s under Hafez al-Assad. So this is not something that the U.S. has clean hands in, and I would respect Mr. Korb's long-standing history with the Council on Foreign Relations, with the American Enterprise Institute, also with the Brookings Institute, one of the most powerful think tanks in the United States, that he should be honest and understand that the Americans have caused a lot of this damage in the region and have actually put forth many weapons, billions of dollars in weapons over the last 4 years alone, and have instigated this war, and this is not a naturalized uprising, and now they're paying the price of their wild dogs getting loose.
Mr. Korb, go ahead.
Well, I think, again, go back to history. The United States was getting along fine with the Assad regime before the Arab Spring. If you remember the first Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, Syria joined the U.S.-led coalition to fight it. So this idea that the United States wanted to, was fomenting this for years is simply not true. Similarly, President Obama has been criticized for not doing anything to help the resistors when Assad used horrible methods against them, including barrel bombs against innocent civilians. In fact, he's been chastised for not doing anything. So the idea that, the United States was fomenting this is not true. Now, there's no doubt about the fact that you had some of the Sunni Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and UAE sending weapons in there that fell into the wrong hands, and they should have been more careful about that. But the United States was not involved in this. As I say, the United States, basically, they've had enough of that world, given the mistake we made in Iraq. The Obama ran on the platform of getting out of that part of the world. So the idea that we wanted to do this is simply not true.
But then, Mr. Korb, if I may stick with you, it does defy logic, does it not, that the U.S. now expects those very countries which were complicit or directly funded and trained ISIL militants, such as Turkey, we've spoken about the complicity of Turkey, to join this U.S.-led coalition now against the very Frankenstein that they built up? That doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, I don't think they intended to, but there's no doubt about the fact that as a result of them not paying careful enough attention, you did have this group, develop. And remember, the United States only got involved when the Iraqi government asked us to come in. That was the Iraqi government asked us to come in when you had the Yazidis on Mount Sinjar, and this ISIL group was, threatening to exterminate them. And we worked with the government of Iran to, get the Mosul Dam, get Maliki to step aside. So it wasn't the United States that was doing this. And I think now what we're trying to do is get the Sunni Arab countries to work with us to show that this struggle against ISIL is not a West against a Muslim group, and also to atone for the mistakes that they made directly or indirectly. I mean, the Saudis claim they didn't do it, but a lot of people, you know, who were Saudis happened to do it, or Qatar did.
Mr. Rickard, go ahead.
Well, either Mr. Korb is incredibly disingenuous or incredibly naive. The facts remain that the United States have been incredibly involved in this, especially since 2011. And this quote-unquote Arab Spring that he's describing in Syria was no more than 10,000 at any given time of any protesters in any city across the entire country of 22 million people in Syria. And it blew up when people were shot in Dara in the south western portion of Syria, and people were shot up, and they couldn't prove who did it. And this has been a status quo. And then everything blew up after that. You even had the American ambassador marching in the streets of Damascus the next day. So this was not something that came out spontaneously and then was completely financed. And to say that the CIA was not involved with Saudi Arabia, go back and do some studies of Adnan Khashoggi. I'd be happy to come by your office.